Blog Talk Radio.
Firefly Willows LIVE presents Revolution, featuring your host, Heisi Lutmers.
Everyone to the show today, and happy Mother's Day to everyone out there, as today is Mother's Day. And we have a lot of interesting topics and guests coming up on the show today, including our Living Well segment. Our whole theme, actually, is, if you have ever heard the song The Lusty Month of May, this whole theme of May and this show is going to revolve around passion and desire and fire and sex and sexuality. In the Living Well segment, Linda Wiley is going to be giving us some foods and spices and suggestions on things that can help as aphrodisiacs, that can stimulate the libido. Our guest today, Divine Kika, teaches tantric workshops and classes and is going to really kind of get into what makes for satisfying sex, successful relationships. And if nothing else, May is National Masturbation Month, so we're just tying everything in to this theme, including our roundtable topic today, which is going to start from a discussion around sex and then move into some other areas, and we'll see how that will expand and grow. So I'd like to welcome to the show today our co-hosts, John Carosella.
Good morning.
Mildred Lynn McDonald.
Good morning.
And Deb Carosella.
Good morning.
And I know that this can be something that will cause a little bit of shyness, discomfort, awkwardness, giggles, but we're just going to dive right in and see what it is that we can come up with.
Looking forward to a penetrating discussion, I see.
Well, it wouldn't be Mother's Day without sex.
That's right. And I did see someone that wrote, since May is National Masturbation Month, it makes total sense that it's May because your mother always comes in and interrupts it in the middle. So with that, let's start peeling off the layers and see what lies underneath this topic.
Men and women whisper to each other because they have turned a sacred gesture into a sinful act.
Whisper.
This is the world in which we live. And while robbing the present moment of its reality can be dangerous, disobedience can also be a virtue when we know how to use it. If two bodies merely join together, that is not sex. It is merely pleasure. Sex goes far beyond pleasure. In sex, relaxation and tension go hand in hand, as do pain and pleasure, shyness, and the courage to go beyond one's limits. How can such opposing states exist in harmony together? There is only one way, by surrendering yourself. Because the act of surrender means, I trust you. It isn't enough to imagine everything that might happen if we allowed ourselves to join not just our bodies, but our souls as well. Let us plunge together then down the dangerous path of surrender. It may be dangerous, but it is the only path worth following. Let us forget all that we are taught about how it is noble to give and humiliating to receive. Because for most people, generosity consists only in giving, but receiving is also an act of love. Allowing someone else to make us happy will make them happy too. This is an excerpt taken from Manuscript Found in Accra by Paul Coelho.
How do we go beyond sex being just a physical thing and we actually are willing to surrender and trust and open enough to another person to experience something more than just physical interaction versus that meeting of souls? And what does intimacy mean?
Are you surrendering yourself to the experience or the person?
And it's kind of like, how do we reclaim sex from its negative, sinful, guilty, dirty, shameful connotations that seem to have built up around it that we always are struggling with as a society, which then spills over into personal.
You know, it's very interesting because I've been trying to reclaim my capacity to purge. And I know that it's essential for me to reclaim this capacity because there are things that need to be purged out of me energetically. And it's also part of part of the healing work that I do. I will sense the vibe in someone and their energetic disease or illness or whatever. And I will need to retch in order to help it clear. And I was unwilling to go there because of the fear of that feeling. It really comes down to a willingness to accept a feeling as a feeling that you can survive and not become existentially a casualty. You won't lose yourself. You won't disappear. You won't be destroyed if you allow yourself to experience this. And I think there are aspects of sex that are like that. We've been programmed to inhibit ourselves from the kind of unguarded, free experience of ecstasy, that everything that leads up to it feels like or can feel like dangerous territory, taboo territory, because we don't know what's on the other side of it, and we don't want to be lost. And we've been taught that we shouldn't allow ourselves to be lost in that place. Sex as part of a balanced diet can be very enriching, and we don't have to be afraid of any of it, but it has to be part of a whole human psychological experience.
The only thing that keeps coming up for me is you're giving the gift of yourself. And the other part that came up for me is it's hard to unveil yourself from all the messages that we're bombarded with in terms of body image or overexposure of sexuality, and it's hard to find that basic healthy balanced line so that you can feel good about yourself and look at it as you're given the gift of yourself, and then the other person's giving the gift of themselves to you.
So when you think about giving the gift of yourself,
yes,
there's an untapped capacity in each of us because we don't actually know all of ourselves well enough to be able to give it. And I think that's one of the challenges in intimate relationships is if you don't know yourself, then you don't know what to offer. You don't know how to offer. And how do you give from a resource that you don't understand fully?
Well, I would say that in life, you may not know all aspects of yourself, but there is an opportunity to trust yourself that in the moment you'll know what to do.
Ah, and so why would that be any different in sex than in?
Well, it's not. That's to me that's kind of it.
Yeah. So trusting yourself to be fully present with the idea that you're going to be a gift, you're going to make a gift of yourself.
Yeah, to honor yourself, to be in a place of connection with your soul, and then you're sharing the gift. You know, it's really the highest gift you can give. Like, what else, what more can you give than yourself? That's it.
But isn't there a difference between giving yourself physically in terms of your body versus truly giving yourself over to, which makes it a deeper experience and a more intimate experience?
Well, I was referring to giving yourself on a soul level.
Now, here's an interesting challenge. Giving yourself also means being willing to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Giving yourself in this act of intimacy means that you give your partner the gift of experiencing your own pleasure through interaction with them, because that's going to make them feel great, right?
So why is sex such a embarrassing or difficult topic for people to talk about?
In my mind, sex as an abstract topic isn't giggle-inducing. As soon as you bring it into any kind of personal experience, then it becomes something that's a lot harder to share, a lot harder to talk about.
But I think that then carries over, because when a person is just with another person, they also find it very difficult to talk about sex, to talk about what they want, to ask for what they want, or to ask the other person what it is that they would like.
I agree. I agree that it does fold over into that. Why is that the case? I think primarily it's conditioning.
Right, I agree. And so how do we move beyond that? How do we, as it's said in the text from Paul Coelho, how do we have the courage to overcome the shyness and go beyond our limits, which could just be the limit of things we're supposed to talk about and not supposed to talk about, and then we find we can't even do that one-on-one with somebody that we're in relationship with for a night or for a lifetime. How do we reach that point of surrender and trust in order to engage in a true intimate relationship where we can express and ask those things without feeling any sort of embarrassment, guilt, shame?
You need to bring it back to yourself first and become a little bit more secure and aware of who you are in and of yourself. If you don't have some inner stability, inner sense of wholeness, it's difficult, I think, for people to come from that place, to come from the, I know who I am, I know that what I want, I know that what I'm asking for is not abhorrent, it's not nasty, it's not without merit, and I can ask for this. And the other reaction, or the reaction that I get back, maybe it's not something that someone else is open to right now, but that doesn't mean that I'm judged. It just means that that particular individual or that particular moment isn't one that is able to be shared. It's certainly not a simple question to be answered. It's certainly not a simple process. This is thousands of years of conditioning. There's still an awful lot that people have to come to understand about themselves and other people before they can be in complete trust with others.
On the flip side of that, how can we go about setting a space and an opportunity for someone else to feel safe enough to be willing to surrender and trust enough to open themselves up to us and ask for what they need from us, as well as to ask us what it is that we would like from them?
To me, the first thing you have to do is create an empathic connection with the other person. If you can't register that person's sense of vulnerability and fear in your very bones, in your guts, in your viscera, in your heart and mind, if you can't connect to the experience that they're having, the experience of fear and vulnerability that they're having, it's very difficult for you to craft a container
that will accommodate those fears and insecurities and vulnerabilities. So it really comes down to, you need to have great sex, you need to have intimacy. To have real intimacy, I mean, and ultimately to have the greatest kind of intimacy that humans can experience, in my opinion, that happens through great sex. So one feeds the other. And I think it comes down to, as a practical toolkit, it's about mindfully practicing with one another. So when you're trying to be intimate with someone, when you're seeking intimacy with someone, it takes practice.
And do you think that can happen in a one-night stand? I'm thinking of one-night stands, for example, as more of a metaphor, because we have brief encounters with random people all the time. So what is it, do you think, that we can do ourselves so that we are always able to, in a moment's notice with a random interaction, create or carry a space with us so that when someone comes into that, they immediately feel that they are not judged, that they can surrender and trust us in order to be honest and authentically themselves with us, rather than trying to present something they think we will find attractive or acceptable?
I think the first thing you got to do is drop judgment, and the second thing you got to do is drop blame. We very rarely look deeply at how and where in our lives and in our bodies we feel or don't feel safe.
How can we make our daily interactions more intimate rather than being disconnected, especially today where so much of our interactions are done through a screen and a keyboard?
I'm torn on this question because there's a part of me that understands and appreciates the necessity for what you're asking us, how does one do that? But then all of my walls have gone up as we've had this discussion. I don't necessarily want to be intimate with anyone and everyone, every random Joe that I might encounter in the day. And that doesn't mean that I will never be open or intimate to some random individual that I meet. But I certainly am not going to walk around in that state. I may find that it occurs and I won't necessarily fight it, but I am not the kind of individual, or I am not ready to be in that state at all times.
And I think that speaks to, more broadly, a lot of times a fear of intimacy in general that people have, which again then carries over to the personal relationships, because then moving past that barrier or that fear of opening themselves up and trusting, even in a one-on-one relationship with someone, is something that becomes more difficult even in that situation, because we've become so accustomed to maintaining the walls or the fear or the stepping back from the intimacy. And I'm thinking that intimacy could mean that we make more of an effort to look someone in the eye when we're speaking to them, even if it's the checkout person at the store.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know, I'm just paying attention to what's on my phone and all of that, and they're telling me how much it is, and I'm saying fine, 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 and I'm swiping my card, but I never even look at them. Or that we acknowledge the humanness of another being passing by us by seeing them, rather than it just being a blob in our peripheral vision that is moving by us. And to me, that's intimacy, because it's that willingness to, as Mildred will often say, meet at the soul level or see each other from the soul level.
What about if you just simply do look at everything in an intimate way? Every day, every person. What about for people who are already doing that? Then I would think that how they approach sexual encounters would be the same way. And you'd simply show up as who you are as a human being. I feel that there's nothing more beautiful than a soul expressing itself. And the more you're connected with your soul, the more beautiful you become. And then that sets the vibration for any form of intimate relationship you're going to have with yourself or other people. for me, I just find it's a private thing. And I'm trying to figure out where the private part comes from, because I don't have negative feelings. I'm an expressive person in every area. So I'm wondering myself, like, where is this privacy coming in? I keep getting this, it's a sacred connection. And is it that I'm not used to talking about the sacred connection? Is it that I have sacredness and privacy on the same wavelength? But I know that I'm not getting any negative feelings of embarrassment or anything like that.
But a lot of times you will hear that said, well, that's a private matter that shouldn't be discussed in public or with other people.
Yes.
But I think that that often is the excuse that people use to then never talk about it. Because you'll find that, for example, when people that are against sex education in the schools will say that that's a private matter and should only be discussed in the family, and that should be the responsibility of the parents to tell the children. But those same people are the ones that then are too uncomfortable to even talk about it with their children.
Yeah, I agree with that part. But
so how do we talk about the sacred more publicly, and why do we feel like the sacred is something that's very kept very quiet and private?
I find, like, for myself, I find I'm not used to talking about it, number one. That's one thing. Like, when was the last time I had this conversation with anybody? Never.
Right.
But I think that speaks back to having the courage to overcome the shyness and go beyond one's limits, because you are able to slowly take away any discomfort around talking about these kind of things.
Well, I don't know if it's a discomfort, Heisi. It's more of not feeling that I have the ability to articulate it. It's like I feel the energy, I feel the feelings. There seems to be clarity inside of me, like I'm clear inside. But then to find the words to express what I'm feeling spiritually and emotionally, it's like I'm jumping over a pile of rocks. It just doesn't seem to come together for me. And I think that would be inexperience. Talking about these things, pure and simple. Because if I started to have these conversations, I would bet in a month's time you wouldn't be able to shut me up.
Well, but that's one of the reasons why the more people either hear it talked about and or talk about it, the more comfortable and the more able they become to be able to express themselves more clearly around these areas in their life, in terms of asking for what they need, asking somebody else what it is that they need from them, which goes beyond just sex, but then goes to everything else, and being able to ask for what they need in all areas more comfortably and more eloquently.
Mm.
Obviously, this is a topic, as Deb has indicated, that is something that has gone on for thousands of years, and we could probably talk about for another few thousand years, but we'll bring this invigorating and stimulating conversation to a close at this point. And I will invite you to stay tuned for the rest of the show, because we have much more exciting topics, suggestions, and other little tidbits that you might find intriguing with our Living Well segment, with our guest, Divine Kika, as well as in our astrology segment, and of course, the live reading segment. You can always call in and perhaps get a reading on the air at the end of the show. So thank you to my co-hosts, John Carosella.
Thanks. I see you. Suppose good.
Mildred Lynn McDonald.
Have a great show.
And Deb Carosella.
You're very welcome, Hi C. Have a good one today.
And stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Let's make love tonight. We'll be right back.
Firefly Willows, LIVE, is proud to support Brighthaven, a nonprofit holistic animal retreat founded in the early 1990s by Richard and Gail Pope to provide sanctuary to animals in need of specialized treatment and elderly care. Brighthaven also acts as an education center for the community, sharing knowledge of holistic healing for animals. In 2010, Brighthaven expanded into the world of animal shelter rescue with Brighthaven Rescue Operations, placing animals at risk for euthanasia into foster and forever homes. Discover more information and how to donate at brighthaven.org. This tip of the week from the Brighthaven Sanctuary and Hospice. As your elderly animal begins a slow decline in health, it is good to know that hospice care for animals is fast becoming a well-known alternative to ending a life prematurely. Mother Nature designed the process of dying to be much the same as birthing, but in reverse. Dying is not meant to be thought of as a failed medical event, but simply a natural end to life and a time to be honored in hospice care and love. Please do seek out help and information about animal hospice care.
Three times two and three times fro, through the Beltane fires we go. And all shall say, may it be so, sing hail, well met this Beltane. The fires of Beltane kindle the night, reflecting the green man's glance. His lady queen of May delights us all with her spiral dance. Follow me to the source of all, he said, I am eternal fire. Come with me to the source of all, she said, I am your heart's desire. Join in the dance of the greenwood, cast off your woes if you dare. Life will be sweet in the greenwood, far from all hurry and care. Hold high the cup of forgetting, drink deep of the greenwood wine. Partake of the wild wood nectar, its honey sweet from the vine. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Linda Wiley here with Living Well with Linda, your monthly guide to the well-being of your body, mind, and spirit. It's about an alternative approach to life, healing, and living well in our changing world. We have forgotten much of the true meaning of food and the value of food in our modern world. Hippocrates says it like this, "Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food." So we shall honor food as this in our monthly chat. Today in Eugene, it's an absolutely glorious day. I've been out in the garden enjoying myself. So from my garden, I bring all these good tidings of May. May seems indeed to be about food, fun, and folly, coming alive again after our winter slumber. Our senses are awakened and stirred. The warmer days and longer evenings make for sumptuous enjoyments and lingering conversations or working longer in the garden. In our world of today, we become so busy that there is no time to take time out, actually, and feel our energy, our life force, our sexual energy, born again and rising as summer approaches. In the days of old, it was understood and honored, this wild force that runs through all of us, and so there was a way to express this energy without guilt or sin or repercussions and just the freedom and enjoyment of life. Perhaps in a word, freedom. This happening is called Beltane or May Day as well for many, and it is honored as the first day of summer in many areas of the world. It seems we are a suppressed, repressed, depressed society in many ways, and sexuality is one of them. It makes for a weird mindset rather than joyful encounters of sharing two becoming one. During Beltane, the fires are lit. It's part of the ritual of safety and purifying so that the alchemical nature of this transformative time can come more deeply alive within us. also to remember and take note that the fires of alchemical transformation and transmutation are always burning at the edge of our field, waiting to assist, welcoming us, beckoning us to come and step in. So many places around the world celebrate this day, and it seems food, as well as the freedom of movement and thought, energizes the body, mind, and spirit. Today, in our depleted world, we can add beauty and vibrance through the use of herbs, flowers, and food combinations that are honoring to the sensuousness of life. This keeps alive the joy of life through deep conversations, food, and herbs, remembering and dancing with our physicality. This will be the general theme of our conversation today. Many herbs and spices just naturally have all the benefits that we're looking for. Never needing to really think of this, we remember nature provides. And if we partake, we reap the good health and life that is so graciously displayed for us here. Using widely of nature's bounty also ensures feeling good and looking good as well. When we leave out the heart of life, which is easy to do in today's world, we miss the sensuous embrace of nature. This time of year is really getting in touch with that part of our nature that wants to honor nature, that is alive in the beauty of this world. So May Day is related to the Celtic festival of Beltane. The earliest May Day celebrations appeared in pre-Christian times, with the festival of Flora, the Roman goddess of flowers, and many pagan celebrations, however, were abandoned or Christianized during the process of conversion in Europe. So a more secular version of May Day continues to be observed in Europe and America. It's best known today for dancing the Maypole and crowning the May Queen and things like that. But a lot of the deeper meanings and messages of the purification and freedom of the spirit are missing in our modern society. Beltane is a festival which signals the beginning of the bright half of the year. Beltane may be translated as fires of Bel or brilliant fire. The festival begins on Beltane Eve with two bonfires started for 9 different woods. Domestic animals and people pass between the bonfires to eliminate disease and misfortune. It celebrates the coming of summer and the fertility of the coming year. Although Beltane is the most overtly sexual festival, pagans rarely use sex in their rituals, although rituals often imply sex and fertility. The tradition of dancing around the Maypole contains sexual imagery and is still very popular with modern pagans. So with the food and everything, that's also very much a part of it. So one wonderful little thing here is May wine, and it's made with woodruff, sweet woodruff. So you can collect that. It grows in the shade under trees. It might be just starting to bloom a little bit. You can use white wine, a sauterne. You use the woodruff leaves and blossoms. And you cover it and let it chill in the refrigerator. And then you can also add thinly sliced strawberries or orange or lemon, and you can even mix some champagne with it. And dairy foods and eggs are in tune with this season. Sweets of all kinds, honey and oats, are all fine foods for Beltane. Simple dishes such as vanilla ice cream and egg custard are traditional fare on this day. People make candied violets with lemon poppy seed cake, and these cakes were left in the garden to please the fairy visitors. So if you want to encourage fairies in your garden, offer some candied violets and lemon cake. Delicious foods that would make a meal that you could have at a buffet on your Beltane Eve. Grilled asparagus with chives and blossoms. Chives are really happening right now. They're blooming. All parts are edible. Wonderful. Chicken and barley stew with herbs, oatmeal cream, goat cheese and spinach turnovers, Irish soda bread, May wine, medallions of pork with Riesling sauce, oat cakes, sand tarts, which are butter cookies with vanilla, savory cheese scones, and this sounded really great, wild Irish nettle soup. Beltane energy is youthful and playful, exuberant, sensual, pleasureful. Rituals, it's love and romance and fertility, crop blessings, creative endeavors. And the customs would be dancing the maypole, jumping the fire, mating, and sharing flowers. Some of the fun foods and spices, I mean, can be used in everyday cooking. We really can, just through, as I said, incorporating all the wonders of nature, be completely healthy and filled with the sensual, vibrant energy of life, just by being creative in the cooking and using the full array of all the beautiful bounty that nature offers. So I'm just going to name a few of the herbs here. They all have their, you know, little special parts, but it's also about, again, just being creative and taking these fun things and knowing that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing because you're working with nature. So saffron is one. Just a thread or two can increase your sexual drive. This is according to a university study in Europe. Try making some saffron quinoa. Saffron is wonderful. Fenugreek to help increase the sex drive in low libido men. It's also very good for women. It helps your blood sugar. It has many other uses besides that. In fact, a lot of them do. Fennel, cloves. Cloves are very warming and sweet. They have a lovely odor to them. Perhaps maybe part of the aromatherapy, the smelling of all of nature as well. Garlic is a fun one. Ginger. Many cultures have used ginger as an aphrodisiac. Cardamom is for women and men both. Nutmeg, another sweet spice. They refer to it as Viagra for women. Cayenne boosts up the metabolism, gets the blood flowing, gets things hot and happening. Basil is just a heady, energizing kind of smell and herb. Ashwagandha, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is the Ayurvedic equivalent of ginseng, but heats the body less. And it's well known for promoting semen and helps treat both infertility and impotency. Sarsaparilla is believed to imitate the action of some of the human hormones. It's a good tonic for the male reproductive system in particular. Saw palmetto is also a male herb with helping the prostate gland and enabling optimal sexual functioning. I also would like to say that if you're really taking care of life and doing your inner work and participating with nature and eating good, healthy food, that the sexual energy should just be a natural flowing kind of thing of life, and you would feel it in the appropriate time and use it appropriately. And I think it's all so much with how we really enjoy life, engage with life, and look within, always looking within. So there's many special herbs here too for men: Korean ginseng, horny goat weed, katauba bark, mucuna, and for women, damiana, shatavari, muria puama, and ginkgo biloba. For both is yohimbe, which is from South Africa, tongkat ali, Indian ginseng. One more is maca, a Peruvian maca root. I use maca. I really happen to like it. It balances the hormonal system. It does impart a boost of energy. It's legendary in enhancing sexual energy and stamina and libido and things like that. So it's a general overall tonic, I believe. And it's helped me through hot flashes, and it's a great herb. I would like to share a few little books of things that I found here that deal with food. This one book, it's a novel, actually, and I started reading. I quite enjoyed it. A group of women who get together and cook in the old style, and it's called The School of Essential Ingredients, a novel. And then there is one that I did quite enjoy. It's called The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. And it has a very much of a spiritual basis for food, some lovely recipes and beautiful presentations of things just to kind of stimulate your appetite and creative endeavors. And then there's actually a book called Intercourse, an aphrodisiac cookbook. And so it lists, you know, many of our typical foods, in fact, but adds a little of this or suggests a little something to do with that. And it's a fun book that you might have fun experimenting with. So the books then again are The School of Essential Ingredients by Erica Bauermeister, The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food, Denise Lynn and Meadow Lynn, two sisters actually, that's fun, and then Intercourse, Martha Hopkins and Randall Lockridge. So if you'd like to post any comments or questions or chat further about what herbs or things have worked for you and share your information around, you can go to the Revolution with High C on Facebook and we can continue our conversation in that way. Thank you for joining me today for this segment of Living Well with Linda. I'm Linda Wiley. Again, if you would like to chat further, post it on the Facebook page. Or you may also write to me directly. I would love to hear from you. That's Linda at Prestia, P-R-E-S, like Sam, T like Tom, I-A, .com. Thank you all for listening. Many blessings to you all, and have a great rest of the day.
We're going to be in conversation with our revolutionary guest this month, Divine Kika. She's going to take us on an exploration of tantra, sex, love, successful relationships. You won't want to miss that, trust me. I just want to remind everyone that you can always find us on Facebook at the Revolution with High C page, which is facebook.com/revolutionwithHighC. Feel free to leave your comments about the show, suggestions for things you'd like to hear in the show, as well as questions or anything else you'd like to offer to contribute to continuing the conversation about anything that we happen to feature here on the show each month. And if you are interested in getting a reading live on the air during the show a little bit later, I would encourage you to get in the queue now. You can Skype in from the show page or you can call 646-716-5510. So stay tuned because coming up next, our revolutionary guest, Divine Kika.
Love.
Sex.
Passion.
Romance.
Desire.
My revolutionary guest this month is Divine Kika. Divine Kika is an international teacher of Tantra and a well-known love and relationship coach, offering workshops and speaking at conferences worldwide, in addition to her private coaching based in Los Gatos, California. A native of Brazil, Kika has spent many years studying with many prominent master teachers of Tantra. Her teaching style is both energizing and nurturing, and she brings her natural talent for healing, a playful sense of humor and passion into her workshops and private practice. Divine Kika guides people into a heart-opening, authentic tantric experience. Her classes, workshops, and private lessons are designed to create and expand personal fulfillment and enable individuals to cultivate more powerful and loving relationships and self-love. Kika teaches that we are all spiritual beings, and that healthy sexual expression is essential to wholeness. Or, as she says very simply, sexuality is sacred. For more information about Kika's private sessions, classes, and retreats, you can visit www.divinekika.com, or you can also visit tantricsexsecrets.com. So please help me in welcoming to the show today revolutionary guest Divine Kika. So welcome to the show, Kika, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
So, as we heard in your intro, you primarily work in the realm of relationships, love, sexuality, and tantra. And can you, for a lot of people out there, I think there's probably a lot of misconceptions about what tantra is. Could you maybe give a bit of a explanation and description of what tantra is and how you work with tantra with other people?
Yeah, I would love to. So I would like to say first what Tantra is not, because we have all these misconceptions of Tantra is all about sexuality, Tantra is all about having better sex and the positions of the Kama Sutra. And Tantra is about finding what brings you joy, choosing consciously what brings you joy. And with that consciously choosing, you're choosing that joy that expands to your entire life. So Tantra is not all about sex. Tantra is not all about the positions of Kama Sutra, but Tantra uses the sexual energy to bring higher states of awareness with your pleasure, with your ecstasy, to achieve that union. So Tantra is a part of yoga. It's a way of being. And it's interesting because in the old books, Tantra was even mathematics is part of Tantra. And people don't realize that how rich it is. So Tantra comes from this big concept where we are already perfect by being who we are. And we have to remove all the illusions and all that is there holding us from being who we really are, which is perfect and blissful. And once we let it all out, then this blissful, this perfect being merges. And it's interesting because how do we use that in our daily life? What does that mean today with our modern lives, with or every day going to work, with our relationships, with the high rate of divorce and the lives we're living now? Like, really, like, there's a lot of loneliness. There's a lot of people feeling sad or disconnected sometimes from their sexuality, or sexuality and spirituality don't connect. What is Tantra? Tantra is a way to connect to yourself in a very deep level, to know your body, to know your pleasure, to know what feels good to you, and to know what you want for yourself. But Tantra is also what's created in the old ages to bring harmony to the society. So it's not something special just for the monks or for, you know, for the priest or, you know, for the super yogis. It was something that everybody in the community would practice that would bring harmony to the whole village. And that's what we want to do today. We want to bring the tantric practices to our everyday life to bring harmony to our lives, to bring relationships that are healthy, fulfilling, satisfying with oneself and with all people around us.
Now, Tantra is something that has been around for like 5,000 years. And yes. I think some people feel intimidated by it because they think that there has to be a lot of training or there's a lot of terminology that seems very foreign or confusing when they've just picked up a book and looked at something about Tantra. Do you have some suggestions on how people can make their first steps into Tantra, how they might get started in working with a tantric practice or just the methods that Tantra utilizes?
The first thing that I invite people to come to is let go of every story, everything that you heard that you think that Tantra is, and come with an open mind and a way to explore who you are and a way that you can open yourself even more and feel more. And so how do I apply it today to my life right now? So can I breathe and can I be right here, right now, not thinking of the next thing, where I need to go, where I was before, that this moment is all that is. And in that, can I feel my body? Can you feel your body here and now? And how does your body feel? And if all the tension in your body, can you melt it? Can you come into your heart and your genitals and feel what is in there? And from that place, we can go somewhere. And just being aware of your body simply by inhaling and bringing your breath all the way down to your belly by extending your belly as you inhale and exhaling, bringing your belly in, we're moving your consciousness to our body. We're getting out of our brain and we're coming into our body, into our belly, where there is the wisdom that we really need to listen. Because in our belly, we really find answers for what we need to know deep in ourselves. That would be a big start, just starting to breathe to the belly and to start to feel more into your belly as a way to getting out of our mind.
And here I thought it was going to be you just have to learn the first 27 positions, and that's a good starting point.
I would say, you know, what a good starting point is when we start to find pleasure with ourselves and we start to touch those areas of our being that are longing for love. Because it's so easy to go and make love with somebody else and try to pleasure a partner. But have you tried to pleasure your body and to see what it feels good? Oh, I notice if I massage my belly just a little bit over here, it feels so good. And if I massage in between my legs, it feels so good. And I don't even have to go to my genitals right away. Can I explore how does that feel to touch my arm? How does that feel to touch my arm as how does my arm feel? And also, how does that feel to receive my touch? And when we have that awareness of how does that feel to be touched by us and how do our touch feels and receiving that deeply, and then we start to love ourselves more, and in that, there is a lot more available of ourselves to give, because there's information, what do I like? How do I like to be loved from head to toe? What feels good in my body? And there's something about also of owning our own pleasure that is very powerful, that when you can become your own very best lover. And when I say this, people kind of look at me like, what? Like, no, I need somebody to touch me. It doesn't really feel good to touch my body. Or that might be the hardest thing that people have to do, because masturbation is so different. Masturbation is almost getting off. It's a release of trust. It's a way to just go into that, okay, I just gotta get it done. I'm gonna do myself, right? I'm just gonna do myself so I can relax and fall asleep. But what if we could make love to ourselves to actually awake? What if the excitement of sexuality could be felt with oneself, feeling deep love and honoring for your own body? What does that do to your connection to your soul? What does that do to your spirit? What does that do if you have that inside of yourself? What would that do to other people in your life? How much more of you would be available to love everyone in your life?
So how would you recommend someone start to recognize the difference between masturbation just to get off or just to relax versus experiencing it in the way that you're talking about?
So according to Osho, like, regular non-tantric sex is about excitement leading to a peak, which is orgasm. When you tip to the top of the mountain, you can do it and fall down again. The tension releases, you might fall asleep. You can feel more pleasure and try extend that excitement. The time for orgasm is short, and there isn't much that you can do about it. So that's regular sex. It's like a lot to release tension. And in tantric sex, it starts the same as regular sex, but it leads into a completely different outcome. And if it's seen as a daily ritual, like a prayer or a joyful meditation, instead of reaching that peak of orgasm, you can enter the infinite valley of orgasm that can last for hours, that can last for, and in the beginning it's not going to last 4 hours, but it's going to be a long. So it's like that state of bliss and awareness, that orgasmic energy that's extending throughout your entire body, that gives a connection with the spiritual realm, with the spiritual awareness, and it reaches to the enlightenment. That might seem foreign for some people when they hear that, wow, that, you know, all that is possible to happen, and how did that happen? As you touch your body as a prayer with honoring and connecting with oneself, I invite you to hold your heart and hold your genitals, like honoring yourself, coming to your own divinity, your own body. And as you touch in there, like spreading the energy from your genitals, being excited, but it's spreading that energy to your entire body. And by breathing, imagine there is a tube in between your perineum, your genitals, all the way to the top of your head, and inhale, sucking up that energy like you're sucking a straw, all the way to the top of your head, and then you exhale with a sound. Ah. When we inhale, we are moving the energy through all vortexes of energy in our body, and we're extending and clearing them, and then we exhale with a sound, expanding our pleasure, and then we catch it again with our genitals, making it a flow of energy that spreads to your entire body, creating a sensation of aliveness, awakening like this. Oh, I want more of this. This is good. And it's not just that, oh, I'm here with my genitals and, you know, I'm watching pornography so I can get off faster. I'm not even in this moment. I'm in there in that picture, that image, or many times we can do that when we make love. Some people, it's so sad, but research shows that a lot of people make love thinking about somebody else. The guy can be with the hottest girl or the hottest person, right? And they're thinking about somebody else. And here is this amazing being in front of me that could be myself or my partner. And I can't even be present to enjoy what is in front of me. How about we bring that awareness into our body and feel our body fully, feel our being fully. And then there is that tension. Oh, my heart is tight. Somebody told me that something that doesn't feel good today. And that's like in my chest. Can I breathe in there? and release that tension from my body and bring in the pleasure in there and open that center.
So is the energy that you're talking about, is that the same or similar to the Kundalini energy?
So if we imagine the Kundalini as this energy that coins in the lower spine, right? That's good that you, it is Kundalini rising. It is energy movement in your body. And when we do this breath that I will teach you in detail at the end of our conversation, I will guide people in about 3 minutes to do this breathing, that we open the pathway to open our body to orgasmic energy. And so it opens the Kundalini, absolutely, right? There's that rush of energy that will flow through the spine. First, each chakra, each energy center in the body open. And yes, something magical can happen. Kundalini can rise, absolutely. Even the yogis knew 5,000 years ago that we have this neural pathways that we create and we repeat the things in our lives. And it is interesting that 5,000 years ago, they knew that we repeat relationships and karmic relationships where we find patterns of the old relationship with our parents or with somebody that we suffered with. And we repeat that with a new person, but we don't consciously repeat that situation over and over and again. Our brain is so amazingly conscious that it actually finds the same patterns, that person that has the same ways and things that we are not even aware of that would repeat that pattern that we don't recognize like by just thinking with our mind, but that repeats. So how do we break through that? By loving myself, by creating a different pathway. So the way to heal it is creating a healthy pathway of self-love. A great way to embody bliss, embody ecstatic feeling in your body is to use breathing that I will show you. And then what we do is like we create this neural pathway for pleasure. So we're literally wiring our bodies to feel more pleasure. And through that pleasure, it awakens our consciousness to bring more pleasure into our life, which means more satisfaction and happiness in general.
You know, I think that in our culture, sex has gotten very disconnected from who we are as a person and has gotten very both demonized and mythologized as something bad and something that is like the end-all, be-all. What have you found to be the connection, and how do you think that we can come back to a sense of sex and sexuality being part of our whole self and the connection between sex and sexuality to spirituality and that sense of connection to the divine, both within ourselves and something greater than ourselves?
And I'm glad that you bring that up, because we are in a world where there is a lot of guilt and shame around our sexuality imprinted on us from our parents, our greatest gurus on our sexuality. And then we have the church dictating that it's bad, it's dirty. And then we have all these moral values that we create with the relationships that we had in our lives and the things that happened to us, that we start to feel all this guilt and shame. And then we have like these relationships that didn't work, that who is in the path of relationship and love that hasn't been hard or hurt. And so that all reaffirms that sex is really bad. And no wonder there's a lot of relationships that are sexless and people start to pull away from each other and not going. And how do we move in from guilt and shame into loving ourselves, into extending to healthy pattern of sexuality where we use our sexuality as a moment of meditation, as a prayer, as a way to connect to our own divinity and to share powerful transmissions, powerful guidance, powerful love to one another. That does sometimes doesn't have to look like sex. Sometimes can look like an eye gaze. Sometimes can look like a smile. And that can be that exchange that is so deep and so powerful that enters your soul, that if you can receive that love, and then if you can be with somebody that you love and feel good about, imagine how much more can you grow from that. Moving from the regular sexuality, which is not fulfilling, not to this amazing way of, oh, here is my wounds, here is my pain, can you hold me for a moment? Yes, I'm holding you, I'm here with you. Let's transform and grow together and expanding love in this moment.
And how would you recommend that someone start to be able to make that transition from regular sex to both opening themselves up as well as how to perhaps talk to someone else that they may be having a relationship with about having this kind of a sexual interaction versus just quote unquote regular sexual interaction?
If you are single, I invite you to touch yourself on a regular basis and every day make time, even if you don't have any time, before you go to sleep, go hold your heart and hold your genitals, hold your sexual center, and start to connect your heart with your sex and allow yourself to understand that they are one, that God created all chakras, all energy centers holy, and that your sexuality is just as whole as your heart, that your love and your sexuality are one, that you are one, there is no separation in there. And if you can start by just bringing that awareness to your life, it's a big step, that acknowledging, oh, look, this is what my mom thinks about sex, and this is really not what I think about my sexuality. I'm feeling attracted to this being, not from his genitals. I see this woman with beautiful breasts, but I can see beyond. I can see her heart. I can see her soul. And that's what's really attracting me. That being that perhaps there's a beautiful transmission in there for me to something learn, and that's something that I can share with her or with him. What is that? And okay, here I am, I have a relationship, and my partner is not very interested in tantric sex. He just want to have sex to sleep kind of thing, or just to get off, just to come. Just, okay, we did our thing. We get this animal thing, because everybody can have good sex. That's easy, right? Having okay sex, good sex, you can have good sex. Can you have extraordinary sexuality? That's a little bit different. That's like, can I have a love that actually fulfills me in all levels of my being? So how do I start it with my partner? I really would love to connect with you a little deeper. Can we look in each other's eyes tonight before we start touching each other? Can you just gaze on my left eye? And I really would love to see you a little more. There is something that is more to this that I would like to discover. I would like to enter your world a little deeper. How about we eye gaze for a little bit? How about we just hold each other's heart and start there? Perhaps tonight I just would like to caress your entire body and just feel who you are and feel. And you know, I was touching myself yesterday and I really discovered that under my armpit, it feels so good when you touch there. Would you touch there? You know, let's play like little kids. Let's explore each other. Let's have fun with each other. And don't be afraid to bring God to bed with you. Don't be afraid to make it a magical experience that is spiritual. That it's my soul connecting to your soul. And through that, find our divinity.
And I think something that you said there is something that many people have lost as they became adults, is the ability for sex and sexuality to be fun.
And innocent.
And yes, because people take sex so seriously. That seems to have really created a lot of blocks and challenges for people because they can't relax into experimenting and exploring versus, I think people get very focused on, let's just get to the orgasm. Because that, you know, we have to achieve the goal.
Yeah.
Rather than just
have an orgasm.
That's right. Rather than it being an experience and being able to have a sexual experience, it's always a very goal-driven kind of thing. And, you know, and I've talked to people who are just baffled by the idea of having a completely satisfying and fulfilling sexual experience without an orgasm. And by that, I mean talking to men and ejaculation.
Well, I would love to talk about that. So in Tantra, we think that you can have multiple, men can have multiple full body orgasms without ejaculating at all. And yet feeling that full-on pleasure, being in the edge of the waterfall, experiencing that sensation of orgasm throughout your entire being, the same thing that you feel in the tip of your penis, which in Tantra we call lingam. That is a wonder. It means a wonder of light. And that sensation is spreading to your entire body. When you have an orgasm, it's through your entire body, and it's not just a lingam experience, just there in the penis. It can expand. And with that, the holding the energy or the life force energy that expands through it. A man can have a full orgasm without ejaculation. On the other hand, a woman can have ejaculation. We have our G-spot, our sacred spot, that we call in Tantra. It's this place that can be stimulated. And the water comes from the same place we urinate as a woman. And when we say in Tantra that the waters come from the heavens, blast each chakra open, and the energy bursts out of our yonis. We call vagina and yoni the sacred temple. And where the energy comes out and it bursts open and it's fully, it's like a release of all that we are, a woman fully in her power. And it's a beautiful thing. And for a woman, the beauty of it is that as a woman, we get to ejaculate an orgasm that is infinite. We have infinite potential for orgasm. So ladies, your potential for orgasm is infinite. A woman can ejaculate up to 40 times or more in one evening.
Wow.
I'll say it again, 40 times or more. And a man can have a full body orgasm that it lasts for hours and hours and hours without ejaculation.
Wow. Can you speak a little bit to how people can stay in their body during sex rather than getting, we often hear, lost in the moment? But then I think that that often means they aren't experiencing fully what's happening in the present because they somehow have gotten lost rather than are staying focused and in their body.
I wrote this article on my website that I really invite people to read. It's tantricsexsecrets.com. There is an article on the difference between tantric sex and regular sex. And then there I do this little guidance that I'll do right now for you. But if you want to read more about it, you can go there. So first step is we start with being with each other. Like, first, the excitement is there, right? We want to feel excited about each other. We want to experience that. We want that sexual energy to move to our body. But it's not like, oh, we want you to enter. The man will feel when there is the energy, or there will be that energy, oh, okay, it's time for me. Now I can go in. But it's like I'm honoring how it's feeling. Like, I'm not bypassing the heart. A lot of times you go, okay, we're going to have sex. We're not going into the heart. We're not feeling, oh, we are feeling the heart. When the heart opens, then everything else opens. It's like we're going together and both energies opening at the same time. Then when we enter each other and we feel each other's wonder, a sense of soul, feeling the pressure and deep intimacy, and then you see yourself in your partner, and the magic can happen from there. And then you can relax in a loving embrace that can be sustained for hours. Because when men learn really to control their ejaculation, that becomes a dance. And then he can go close. Oh, I can just slow down my breath right now. oh, I feel like I could ejaculate, but let me just slow my breath. Let's dance together. And a woman can also give them like, oh, let me just take a deep breath right now. Let's just slow down and relax the whole body, because when the body starts to tense, right, the old way is like the body starts tensing, the breath starts going, and then we're really excited, and then the body's dancing, and then there's that, oh, and then there's the urge, the body has to explode. We want to slow the breath and relax in high states of pleasure. So we can relax in those high states of pleasure, and so we can dance, and we can flow, and then we can enter the valley of orgasm, where it's possible that it remains it stays for hours and hours and hours and hours of love makes. And
what might you suggest to women who have become mothers, as well as women get older? What are some things that you might suggest to help them stay connected to or reconnect not only to their bodies, but also to their sexuality?
The first thing I would like to say, like, for the couple, like, what is going on today? Are we being loving to each other? Are we saying, I appreciate you for da-da-da-da-da? And if we want to rekindle the love and the passion in the relationship, we need to start to share appreciation with each other. So I invite you as a woman to say appreciation to your beloved and to develop that strong relationship, and that's for men and women, to appreciate your body. It doesn't matter how your body looks like, it's what you feel like about your body. How much can you love and accept the way you are? You are beautiful the way you are. I can love you, and I can make that part of my body also feel yummy and juicy. Take the time to love ourselves as we are and let go of the imprint that is out there of how we should look like and how we should be, but how we are, how we really are. Can we make requests instead of complaints? That will change relationships. I assure you, I work with couples all the time. If we change our complaints with clear requests, that would be a big difference. So in our lovemaking, how can we extend it? How can we, can you take deeper breaths? A lot of times as a woman, we lose our orgasm because we forget to excel. Now, ladies, if we lose our orgasm, sometimes we go, hi, it feels so good. Where did I go? Huh? Where did I go? Went away. I forgot to excel. Ah, there it is. Right there. That excelling, we just down, extends our pleasure. So when you make love, as much sound as you can make to expand it, the more sound, the more you're going to feel. And the more you liberate the energies, the sadness, the repressed, whatever it is in your body, oh, it doesn't feel so good. Oh, it's painful. Express it with your sounds. It will excite your partner. And, you know, we are afraid of yelling in front of our, to make love in front of our children and let our children hear the sounds of love. But it's interesting because we're not afraid of fighting in front of our children and yelling at each other. That's scary. That's sad. How about if we let people hear our sounds of love and our joy? Can we express our joy more often? And then so we don't have to be so angry. We don't have to yell at each other anymore. So I invite you to express yourself through sound, through your lovemaking, to touch your body, to find your own pleasure with yourself, and also to massage. I invite you, woman, to massage your yoni, your sacred temple, that we call it, the vagina we call sacred temple, yeah? You'll have a sacred temple, a place where when someone comes to find the nurturing, the love, the divinity, that space for love. And it's your place as a goddess to bring that divinity into your beloved, to show him that way. Let's just slow down. Take a deep breath. Can we look in each other's eyes for a moment? I love to look at you when we make love. You look so good. It feels so good to look into your eyes. Take a deep breath with me. Let's just slow down in a moment, just for this moment.
So you said that you had a breathing technique that you wanted to share with us.
Yeah. So we are rewiring our neurology, and making our bodies able to feel pleasure in a way that never felt before. So the first step, so what are we doing? We're breathing, creating a neural pathway for pleasure in our body. We are opening and expanding all centers of energy and re-energizing the entire body, revitalizing. So this exercise makes you younger, happier, and you can do it in a traffic light. So my invitation for you is right now, as you're listening to this, you know when you have to go urinate really bad, and that muscle that is called the pubic coccygenate that ferments underneath your testicles, a little bit before your anus, like in between your anus and your testicles and your perineum, there's a little place that you can squeeze. And for us, lady, we're going to squeeze as if we were to reach inside of your yoni, like towards our pubic bone, and just 2 inches inside of our vagina, 2 inches. And it's like just a squeeze right there, as if you had to go urinate, but you're not going. So that muscle is called the pubic coccygenate, if you want to research about it. That's our love muscle. And you want that muscle to be really strong. For women, it helps for a lot of health purposes, not urinate. And I think when you get older, to create more blood flow, so we avoid having any diseases that could lie in here. And I can go on and on about the benefits of this exercise. And for men, same thing. There's a lot of benefits of bringing more blood flow to that area. So what do? Every time you go to the bathroom, before you urinate, you would squeeze 10 times. So squeeze the area, relax, squeeze, relax, squeeze, relax, squeeze, relax. And then during the urination for the man, the woman don't have to do that, but for the man to start to practice your ejaculation control, stop the flow of urination for 3 times. So urinating, squeeze, stop, urinating, squeeze, stop, and then do one more time. After urinating, man and woman, you squeeze a little longer, hold, and relax. So do that 10 times. Squeeze a little longer, hold, and relax. If you do that every time you urinate for 30 days, that muscle will be very strong, and then your potential for orgasm will increase. You're going to have a stronger, longer, better orgasm. Once you have that muscle, so that's the first step. We need to find your PC. So now sit down straight with your spine straight and sit in a position that you can feel your feet in the ground, or you can sit in a yogi position. Now, you squeeze that PC muscle and imagine there is a tube like a straw that is in front of your spine, in between the front of your body and your spine. That is a tube, that is a channel that goes all the way to the top of your head. So imagine that you squeeze your PC muscle. Squeeze, relax, squeeze, relax, squeeze. Now inhale all the way up to the top of your head to that straw in front of the spine, right? That tube. So all the way up, all the way to the top of your head, and you exhale with a sound. Ah. When you exhale that sound, imagine the energy is coming out of your mouth and going all the way down, back, reaching your genitals under again. And then you squeeze, you squeeze, you squeeze. All the way up to the top of your head. Ah. So you're squeezing your genitals, right? You're squeezing your PC muscle. Inhaling all the way up to the top of your head, bringing your sexual energy all the way to the top of your head. Exhaling. Forward, catching again with your genitals, squeezing again. So let's imagine you're driving in your car and there's a traffic light. So what are you going to do? You squeeze, you squeeze, you squeeze, inhale. Once the light is green, then you go again. So I invite you to do that one every traffic light. And what are you doing is you're creating this neural pathway to feel more pleasure, to rewire your neurology, to feel good about yourself, and to also heal a lot of the traumas if your heart is tight and you bring that energy there, and to also to awake and expand your sexual energy. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a sex active life. It's just that your energy, sexual energy, needs to move in order for you to create more health and vitality in your entire body.
So can you give us some information about how people can find out more about what you offer, contact you, as well as any events, workshops, etc. that you might have coming up?
Yeah, I have a lot of exciting things coming up. So my website is divinekika.com. Coming up, I have Greater Sex, Love, and Intimacy. That is me and Scott Katamas, and we teach compassionate communication in Tantra in Los Gatos. And I have coming up, I have the Tantra Kiss, which is a very sweet workshop that if you are in a relationship, I invite you to really come and enjoy learning the Tantra Kiss. Studies show that more than 60% of promising dates, women turn down their partner because they're not good kissers, and men too. And it's very interesting that a kiss can turn off a promising relationship. And people, everybody thinks that they're a great kisser, but the truth is they're not. And you can learn, this is a skill that you learn. You can learn how to be an amazing kisser. And the Tantra Kiss is an amazing, fun workshop. So if you have somebody that you love to kiss, and bring them and learn about the Tantra Kiss. We also register singles, and you can pair up with somebody there. And if you feel comfortable, you practice. We have another class that's called How to Please Your Partner from Head to Toe. And we learn how to touch the body in different ways, not the genitals, but just the body, you know, just in a way that really pleases and relaxes and open up your partner for more love and pleasure. And it's really a fun event.
Well, unfortunately, as you obviously indicated, this is a topic that we could talk about for hours and hours and hours. And I think anyone and everyone realizes that sex and sexuality is a never-ending topic of discussion. But as we come to a close here, I want to say thank you very much for having shared with us and offered us some amazing suggestions to get started towards having both healthier relationships with sex and sexuality, as well as more successful relationships in general. So thank you very much for having joined us on the show today, Kika.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here and creating this show where we can learn and explore who we are and become better human beings. Thank you.
And I will just remind everyone that if you want to find out more about Divine Kika, or if you want to contact her, you can visit her website at divinekika.com. And you can also start to explore some of the other information that she has around Tantra by visiting tantricsexsecrets.com. So stay tuned, because coming up we have our astrology update, as well as if you would like to have a reading live on the air. So stay tuned, and thank you very much, Kika, for having been here today.
Good listeners, this is your astrology update with James Moran, and it is for the month of May 2013. We're looking at the collective energies in the alignments of the planets for this month, and kind of bringing them down to earth and how they affect you, how you can make some good use of the opportunities that arise from these combinations of archetypes, these energetic combinations. So for the first half of May, we have been having a stellium in the sign of Taurus, and a stellium is a conjunction of more than three planets in the same place in the sky. So this particular stellium in Taurus includes the Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Mars. And actually, at the time of this podcast, we will have just passed through a solar eclipse, which means that stellium in Gemini also included the sun. Also included the moon, and which came through an eclipse of the sun, which has kind of a resetting quality to it. So the 9th of May, solar eclipse, start of a new chapter. Then the moon moves on out of Taurus and leaves the sun there with Mercury, Venus, and Mars. The sun, it vitalizes whatever other archetype it comes in contact with and makes that shine. Mercury is the archetype of the mind, perception, communication. Venus is the archetype of beauty, love, pleasure. Mars is the archetype of anger, but it's also the archetype of assertiveness. And you bundle all these energies together in Taurus, which is the sign of earthly delights, and you give rise for opportunities for being assertive, Mars, and speaking, Mercury, to one you find beautiful, Venus, in order to show that person how you shine, Sun. This combination can also be honored quite well by planning a feast. Feast is something very Taurus-like, where you can share some repartee and good-natured debate, which is Mercury and Mars, amongst beloved friends, again, Venus. And in such a situation, those of you born with your sun in Taurus may shine as the life of the party as the sun is moving through Taurus during the time of your birthday. Mercury is also associated with movement, and Venus and Mars combined together, are the assertive beauty, or another way you can say it is the performing arts. So this combination of Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Mars also is supportive for attending dance performances or for going out dancing yourself. That combination, the Sun, Mercury, Mars, and Venus all together is very energetic, but in the sign of Taurus, Taurus is an earth sign, it's a very grounded time, and it's also opposing. That whole stellium is opposing Saturn in Scorpio, so Saturn is also going to keep things grounded, so you can kind of enjoy yourself responsibly, as it were. And for the second half of May, we have Mercury and Venus, the faster-moving planets in that combination, moving on out of Taurus into Gemini to join with Jupiter in Gemini. And that is a triple conjunction between Mercury, Venus, and Jupiter in Gemini. Again, Mercury is the mind, communication. Mercury is also associated with travel. Venus is beauty, pleasure, and love. Jupiter's archetype goes for the broader horizons, the larger expanse, the mountaintop view. All three together portend excellent opportunities for taking a trip, Mercury, to see the beautiful Venus, mountaintop view, Jupiter. If you are thinking of doing something like proposing to someone, what better time to speak, Mercury, your love, Venus, upon an expansive vista, Jupiter. And if you get to the mountaintop and you can't decide between two equally beautiful vistas, or you can't decide between two equally poetic ways of professing your love, that's merely the equivocating nature of Gemini. Not to worry, just kind of match Gemini with your own quickness and cleverness, and all will be well. In this second half of May, with Jupiter, Venus, and Mercury in Gemini, that triple conjunction will be square to Neptune. So Neptune is the archetype of the ideal, the sublime and divine, and the otherworldly. And Neptune, when in combination with something else, tends to spiritualize that thing, that other archetype. So you could have, for instance, the spiritually ideal Neptune, love, the spiritually ideal love, that's Neptune and Venus, expanded by Jupiter, inspiring poetry or elevated conversation. So can be quite a beautiful combination and quite sublime. Neptune is not always willing to come back down to Earth because it's so idealized and otherworldly. So this is a combination to be enjoyed with Jupiter there. There's nothing wrong for reaching for the spiritual heights and the broader spiritual expanse of vision. But we just have to know that eventually we have to come back down from the mountaintop to try and incorporate all that spiritual inspiration into our day-to-day living. And so, yeah, that's a little glimpse into some of the energies, some of the more major energies for the month of May in your astrology outlook with James Moran, your archetypal outlook. And if you have any questions, I can be reached at james@jamesmoran.co. That's james@jamesmoran.co. And also my website is jamesmoran.co. Yes, and one more thing before I go. I just want to say happy birthday, Mom. Love you. Thank you so much, and enjoy the month of May, Taurus. Woo.
Stay tuned, because coming up in just a minute, we will be having our call-in segment where you can receive a reading live on the air. If you would like to get in the queue for a reading, just call 646-716-5510, or you can Skype in from the show page. So we'll be back in just a minute to start taking your calls and hear what questions and guidance the Tarot has to offer. Stay tuned.
As promised, we're always thinking of ways to bring you a fresh new perspective. Check out this lineup of our newest shows. The Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, featuring Firefly Willow's LIVE favorite, Heisey Lutmers, and his co-host, Charlie Harrington, on the second Tuesday evening each month. A Shamanic Life, hosted by John Carosella, on the first and third Tuesday evenings each month. The brand new Embracing Change, The Joy of a New Path, with career coach Ivan Teams and John Carosella, the fourth Tuesday evening of each month. What's Your Prescription for Balance? With Mildred Lynn McDonald and her co-host, Dr. Glenna Calder, the first Thursday afternoon each month. And Evolve, with Robin White Turtle Lisney, the third Thursday afternoon each month. We're excited. Give us a listen as we continue to create new and entertaining ways for you to shine your inner light. Join us at Firefly Willows, LIVE.
And welcome back. So here we are on Mother's Day, and actually there's nobody in the queue for a reading, and I'm anticipating that's probably because most people are out at this time celebrating Mother's Day celebrations. Well, I suppose that's redundant, isn't it? Honoring whatever form mother means to them, whether it's their biological mother, whether it's someone that actually served as mother for them, or perhaps even they're out doing some sort of earth celebration and honoring and celebrating Mother Earth. So I thought that what I would do, just to finish up the show here, is I would ask the Tarot, based on the theme of the show today, what is intimacy and how can we best cultivate intimacy, and what does that mean for us in our lives? And so as I thought about that question and shuffled the cards and pulled a card, you know, the Tarot never ceases to amaze me. It doesn't surprise me, because I've been doing it long enough that I trust the Tarot and I know what it's going to give me insight and answers and guidance that's always going to be very illuminating. But I'm always amazed at just how appropriate, how direct, how insightful it can be. So when I ask that question, what is intimacy and how can we best cultivate it in our lives? The card that came up is the One of Fire, or the Ace of Wands. And this seems like such a perfect card, because the aces represent the ultimate essence of a particular suit or a particular element. So wands is this element of fire. And it is the source from which everything comes from, an unlimited supply in that element or in that suit. And I often speak of wands as representing our core self. It's that central core being from which everything comes. It's where our desires reside. It's where our beliefs reside. It's where our passion and our motivation and our willpower originate. It's that spark of illumination and enlightenment. So as a card to represent what is intimacy, on the one hand, it reminds us coming back to that core place, seeing and meeting people from that core place within us and within them. It makes me think of, for example, the word that often most people are familiar with that comes from India, namaste, or namaste, as it is sometimes said. And that often is translated as, I honor the divine in you. And it is that same concept that the Ace of Wands seems to be saying is what intimacy is. Intimacy isn't, you know, with wands and fire, that's not the suit or the element of the physical world, the physical self. That would be pentacles or earth. And so it's saying that intimacy goes far beyond physical interaction between another person or more than one person. And it goes to the core of who we are. And when we meet, just like we heard Mildred saying in the round table, just like we heard Divine Kika talking about, is when we can meet at that soul level, when we can combine the fire within each of us and the divine spark within each of us in that interaction, that's when we experience intimacy. And it's the willingness, you know, fire and Ace of Wands is kind of like that inner light. So intimacy is when we are willing to both see the inner light that resides within someone, regardless of what the external may indicate or make us create judgment around or discrimination around, because oftentimes we also create our own masks and illusions that we present to the world to cover up parts of ourselves. So when we're able to see that spark of the divine and see that true person at their core, when we look into their eyes or when we speak to them, and also when we are willing to allow our light to shine, when we are willing to allow our true self and our core self to be seen, rather than trying to appear in a way that we think will be acceptable or pleasing to someone else, that's when we can experience intimacy, because we're both allowing someone in and letting them see our true nature and our true self, and we're also willing to look at and see the true self of someone else that we are interacting with, be it in a sexual situation or a personal interaction or a random interaction, saying hello to someone on the street, or when we pass a homeless person and are able to look into their eyes and see that spark of the divine in them that also resides in us, so that we don't see them as somehow different than us. We simply see, and this is where it's going to really cultivate compassion. This is an empathy. This is when we see that I am that person and that person is me, rather than that is another. And that is where I think this is indicating true intimacy really lies. And when we know, or when we can feel that we're experiencing it, is when we lose the sense of the otherness and we simply recognize and experience the oneness and the connectedness of another person that we're with, of ourselves with all of humanity, or of with the universe. That is intimacy, and that's what we want to strive for, is to have that kind of relationship, that kind of connection, and that kind of awareness at every moment with ourselves, with another, with the universe. I also wanted to look and see what the herb or plant that is associated with Ace of Wands is, and I'm taking this from The Spirit of Herbs by Michael Tierra and Candace Canton. And this is using an herb or a plant energetically. The energy of this plant can help us in supporting, in stimulating, in cultivating intimacy and a willingness to be intimate within ourselves and with other people. And the herb that is associated with the Ace of Wands is yarrow, Y-A-R-R-O-W. And that's a beautiful herb to think about in relationship to intimacy, because one of the things that yarrow is really known for is as a healer. And so it shows us that intimacy comes from healing, but also intimacy can be the key to healing whatever wounds or pain or grief or things that we may carry or have within us. It's when we allow ourselves to be intimate. It's just like when somebody goes to therapy, they're revealing their deepest, darkest secrets to the therapist. And that's what assists them in that healing process. So imagine being able to do that on a regular basis with people that we trust and people that we feel close to and people that we have relationships with, because that intimacy and the willingness to go there is going to facilitate our own healing process, as well as create a space that allows other people to feel just as willing to be intimate and open with us, and therefore help to facilitate their healing as well. Yarrow is a really good herb for helping to open the mind and open the seventh chakra. And the seventh chakra is really our connection, our portal to the divine for it to come in. The seventh chakra is associated with the top of the head. So it's like when it opens, then the energy from the universe can flow into us freely. And this would also speak to many of the things that Divine Kiko was speaking about regarding Tantra, because there's that sense of really opening those higher chakras so that we are having an experience with another person that goes beyond merely physical to something that is more spiritual, to something that connects our higher selves and allows our higher selves to be in union and in relationship with each other. And yarrow is really good for helping to stimulate that and to open that up. Yarrow also is really good for helping us to both receive and be aware of the inspiration, the revelation, the insights, the enlightenment that we are receiving from the universe. So that, you know, with that Ace of Wands, that fire, it's helping to shine a light on and illuminate those things so that we see them, rather than they go without, so that we are not lacking in perception of those things. And when we have that awareness, when we have that perception, when we are able to both shine a light on as well as see when a light is shining for us, that's when we can achieve intimacy, because we are seeing the truth. We are seeing what is real, whether in another person or a situation or in a universal principle. And that is intimacy, when we are able to see it and connect with it and work with it and perhaps even understand it at that much deeper level. Yarrow is also really good for protecting against invasive thought forms, if you want to think of it that way. And that's, I think, what happens. That's what gets in the way of intimacy, is we create these stories in our head that creates defenses, that creates wounds, that creates, we put up our walls. And yarrow is going to help in a gentle way, because yarrow has this certain gentleness to its energy. Yarrow is going to help to dissipate and dissolve those walls, those defenses. But also, it's in its place, it's going to give us, you know, when people say like they surround themselves with white light, it's going to give us an energetic barrier that only allows in what is in our highest good and in our greatest benefit. And it's going to help us not to go to those invasive thought forms, which would be negative thinking, which would be judgment, whether of others or of the self. And yarrow is really going to help to kind of keep us away from that kind of thinking and protect us from those kinds of influences and thinking from being able to invade our mind and cause us to start thinking in those ways. So those are just a couple of thoughts that I would offer based on what the card that came up, the Ace of Wands, to indicate what intimacy is and how we can cultivate it. And cultivating it with the Ace of Wands says doing it in a willful way. So being very intentional and putting our willpower towards making this something that we want to experience and have as a reality in our life, rather than just waiting for it to happen to us. Ace of Wands is very much about being proactive in cultivating that rather than thinking it's something that just comes to us or happens to us. And then also along with that, yarrow, which is something that you can easily find, and working with an herb, if you can ingest it in some form, which I know you can with yarrow, that's a direct way to take that energy in. So whether you find it as a loose herb that you can make a tea with, an herbal essence that you can add drops to a glass of water to ingest it. But if you don't want to ingest something, you can also carry some of the herb around with you in a pocket. You can scatter it in a space. You can grow the plant. You can burn it as an incense. You can put it into a bath so that you infuse yourself with it. So there's many ways to work with herbs. You can find the essential oil, and that you can dab onto you, or you can diffuse in an oil diffuser. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to work with it, but herbs and everything in nature really is there to serve us as an ally, to work with us, to support us, to encourage us not to do the work for us, but to support us in that. And yarrow is really something that is going to help cultivate and stimulate that willingness to engage in a more intimate encounter and a more intimate relationship and a more intimate both understanding and revelation in terms of revealing ourselves to people and to the universe, so that we can live in a more centered way and in a more enlightened and fulfilling way. So thank you very much for having joined me for the show today. I hope that you enjoyed our little foray into the theme of sex and sexuality and intimacy and tantra. I know these are things that sometimes can make us a little bit uncomfortable or a little bit shy, or, you know, cause us to giggle. But we need to talk about them, and we also need to not be afraid to think about them for ourselves, as well as to talk about these things with other people that we are in relationship with, whether it's a romantic partner, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, anyone that we trust. Talking about these things helps to also cultivate and stimulate more intimate relationships in our lives and with ourselves. So thank you very much for joining me today. I will remind you that you can like the Facebook page for the show, Revolution with High C, which is just at facebook.com, Revolution with High C. There you can always offer your comments, offer suggestions, offer questions, continue the conversation about something in a show, as well as make sure that you receive updates on upcoming shows and topics and that kind of thing. You can also find us on the web at fireflywillows.com/live. And the show is also available on iTunes as a podcast for download. And you can just search for Firefly Willows Live, or you can search for Revolution with High C, and it'll come right up in iTunes as well. If you'd like to contact me directly, you can always do that through the Facebook page, or you can email me at HiC@fireflywillows.com. And I will just remind you that I do offer private tarot sessions. I also help in the creation of rituals to both support and bring about things in your life that you are wanting, seeking, or feel that you are needing. And I welcome your questions about that, your inquiries about that, and would encourage you to get in touch with me, even if it's just to find out what that means. So enjoy the rest of this Sunday. I will hopefully look forward to having you join me on Tuesday when my co-host, Charlie Harrington, and myself will be offering the Amethyst Oracle Amethyst Oracle Divination with a Queer Twist. We're going to have a very interesting guest, Ava Yantasawa, I hope that I'm saying her name right, from New York, and she's going to be offering some very interesting insights and correlations between her practices with the Tarot and other psychic modalities, as well as she's very involved in the dance world and how symbolism and dance and tarot and all of those things come together. So I would encourage you to join Charlie and myself for the Amethyst Oracle. That's this coming Tuesday at 8 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio. And until next time, I wish you the most amazing month, and may every day be blessed. and may every day bring you joy, and may the best of each day be the worst of your tomorrow. So until then, thank you for joining me, and farewell.
Thank you for joining us. This program was brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time on Firefly Willows LIVE for Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, with Heisey Ludmers and Charlie Harrington, Tuesday evening at 8 p.m.